This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
سلامه على نبيه الكريم عليه أفضل الصلاة وأتم التسليم. رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقهوا قولي. My brothers and my sisters, السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. I hope that everyone is doing well, inshallah ta'ala. I look forward to another night with you in learning the etiquettes of our deen, and more specifically, etiquettes related to salam and giving salam to others. I'm going to also have to ask you to forgive me. I have a massive coffee here that I'm trying to drink. I'm trying to cover up the brand of the coffee that I'm drinking because they didn't pay me to advertise for them. But I don't really have a way of doing that unless I pour it into a different cup. So I'll probably just drink it like this. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant us a deeper understanding of this deen. Ameen. Okay, so let's jump right into it, inshallah. Try and save some time. We are going to continue where we left off, learning about the etiquettes of giving salam. And we have a lot of topics to cover today. If we have the time to go through it all, we will. Otherwise, we'll just continue with it next time. Today, inshallah ta'ala, we look at the permissibility of saying salam multiple times in one setting. So the fact that it is permissible, and that's really like our title heading, the permissibility of saying salam three times, if it's a large gathering of people, or if you are uncertain as to whether the person or the people you're giving salam to have actually heard you. So is it permissible to say salam more than one time? So we see that Anas radiallahu anhu says that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was speaking to the Sahaba radiallahu anhum, and when he was addressing them, at times when he addressed the Sahaba, the companions radiallahu anhum, he would say something three times, right? He would, especially if he wanted to get their attention with regards to something or highlight something, right? So he would say, what he was saying three times. And this can also be applied to the salam. And so he continues and says, وَإِذَا أَتَى قَوْمٌ. So when a group of people came, فَسَلَّمَ عَلَيْهِمْ, right? When the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came to a group of people and said salam to them, he would say salam three times. سَلَّمَ عَلَيْهِمْ ثَلَاثًا. Okay, so he would say السَّلَامُ عَلَيْكُمْ, السَّلَامُ عَلَيْكُمْ, السَّلَامُ عَلَيْكُمْ, or, you know, more than just the salam, all the way to وَبَرَكَاتُهُ. So that's something that is permissible, right? If you come to a large gathering, there's more than one person, you can say salam more than one time. So for example, if you're beginning a lecture and you have a microphone or you don't have a microphone, and you're giving salam to that large congregation of people, you might want to say salamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Right? That way everyone feels included. And you're not just giving one salam and doing like the adhan thing, like assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Right? It's kind of weird. So saying salam in three different directions without moving away from it. Because remember, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would give his full attention to someone when he was speaking to them. Right? He would stay with them and focus on them and talk to them and so on and so forth. And so that's important as well to keep in mind with regards to the way and the method of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Imam al-Nawawi rahimahullah, with regards to this, right, with regards to the topic of giving salam more than one time and up to three times, he says, related to this hadith, that it is permissible to do this in the case or on the condition that the group of people you're speaking to is large. And not simply coming across like a smaller group, like three people or four people, and saying salamu alaykum wa rahmatullah, salamu alaykum wa rahmatullah, salamu alaykum wa rahmatullah, salamu alaykum wa rahmatullah, salamu alaykum wa rahmatullah. One salam is sufficient, okay? Ibn Hajar, rahimahullah, the famous scholar who wrote the explanation to Sahih al-Bukhari, which is known as Fath al-Bari. Okay, Ibn Hajar, rahimahullah, he says, وكذا لو سلم وظن أنه لم يسمع So if someone gives salam and thinks or assumes or feels that the person who they said salam to is unaware of their salam or did not hear their salam, then it is a sunnah, it is from the sunnah, to say the salam again. Okay? Al-iyada. فَيُعِيدُ مَرَّةً ثَانِيَةً وَثَالِثَةً وَلَا يَزِيدُ عَلَى الثَّلَاثَةً عَلَى الثَّالِثَةً. So he is permitted or she is permitted to say salam a second time or a third time if they think that the person they're saying salam to didn't hear them. And they can say it a second time and a third time, but he says that that we should not say it more than three times. Okay. And one of the reasons why scholars put a limit there is because there are, first of all, cases where some people feel shak. They feel, you know, uncertain within themselves. Did I say it two times? Did I say it three times? Did they hear me? Maybe they couldn't hear me. Maybe I didn't say it loud enough, right? Where there's these whispers of shaitan, right? Messing with them all the time. And they're thinking, you know what? Maybe I was not loud enough. Maybe they didn't hear me. Maybe I disturbed them and distracted them. Maybe they were focusing on something else. And so in order to eliminate the excessive amount of whispers that come from shaitan or from our own selves or the doubt that's within us, scholars sometimes put a limit and say, you know what, you shouldn't go more than three times. You shouldn't say it more than three times. And what is the proof and evidence? Well, like we said just a couple of minutes ago, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam at times would give salam or would address people and say what he was saying three times. Sheikh Tawfiq, mashallah, tabarakallah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless you and your family. I hope you're doing well in Singapore. Allah yajzik al khair. That's my good friend and former classmate and former neighbor, Sheikh Tawfiq from Singapore. Allah yajzik al khair. He runs Al-Qudwa Academy. So if any of you are ever interested in taking these awesome classes online, I've been to his academy. I literally flew to Singapore specifically to visit his academy. And they just moved to a new location just about a week or two ago. Correct me if I'm wrong, Sheikh Tawfiq. I remember messaging him about it. It's called Al-Qudwa Academy. And, you know, wherever the khair is, wherever the barakah is, wherever the goodness is, go and learn from it. And, you know, Sheikh Tawfiq and the other satida, male as well as female scholars that are there, you can benefit from, inshallah ta'ala. Okay, they have some really, really nice, really interesting courses, but super flashy, awesome marketing. I really, really like what they're doing, subhanAllah. So Allah yajzik al khair, Sheikh Tawfiq. It's really nice to see you on, but you're making me feel shy to teach, subhanAllah. Sheikh Tawfiq is a graduate from Al-Azhar University. Also, we did our master's together at the Islamic University of Malaysia. Alhamdulillah. Okay, the next point that we're going to look at is min as-sunnah. الجهر بالسلام وكذلك الرد. So it is from the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to say salam out loud or with a voice that is heard by others, the opposite of silent. So when we see someone, we don't go, right? We say assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Or we don't even need to gesture with our hands. We can just say assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, right? And give them salam out loud so that they can hear the salam, okay? So it is from the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and that is the method that he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used when giving salam. To raise your voice when giving that salam. And also to raise your voice when responding to the salam. So for example, if the khatib, right? The khatib, the imam, gets up on the minbar and is delivering the Jumu'ah khutbah, for example. And before the second adhan is called, the khatib says, Assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. And everyone is sitting there silent because they think, we're not supposed to talk during the khutbah, so let's not respond to his salam. On the contrary, we are supposed to say وعليكم السلام ورحمة الله وبركاته out loud so that the khatib can hear us as well. Okay? And that's the method of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam with the Sahaba. I'm going to seek your forgiveness. The cleaners are outside. The brothers are cleaning, you know, the masjid today. The masjid got really, really dirty from Jumu'ah because of the construction outside on the parking lot. And it's very dirty, very muddy. You know, lots of dirt came inside. And so they're vacuuming the carpets really well. So you might hear that in the background. Okay. The scholars also mentioned that when someone says salam without saying it out loud, then they lose out on the rewards. So what are the rewards? Well, we said if someone says assalamu alaykum, they get 10 rewards. Someone says assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullah, they get 20 rewards. Someone says assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, they get 30 rewards. But if someone says, what's that? You didn't hear it, you didn't say it, so there's nothing heard, there's nothing that was mentioned, and so the rewards are missed out on, right? Now Sheikh Naveed Aziz is on from Calgary, subhanAllah. Ya Mashayikh, you're making me embarrassed to teach. Wa alaykum as-salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, Sheikh Naveed. Allah yajzik al-khair. I could share my screen with you and share my notes with you, and you can teach the class for me, inshallah. Alhamdulillah. It's awesome when other, you know, scholars, you see them logging in and coming and going. It's amazing. Alhamdulillah. Oh, as a side point, December 17th is coming up, so just keep that in mind. Eh? Alhamdulillah. Okay. There's a hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam with regards to this. Okay. عن ثابت ابن عبيد قال أتيت مجلسا فيه عبد الله ابن عمر رضي الله عنهما فقال. So he came to a gathering and within it was ابن عمر عبدالله ابن عمر رضي الله عنهما. And he said, if you give salam, right? If you give salam, okay, if you give salam and it is heard by others, then you are giving a greeting that is filled with barakah and it is pure and good. Okay, so the advice of Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhuma is to give salam and to say it out loud, because the salam that is said out loud is the salam that is filled with barakah and khair and goodness, and it is a pure good, you know, salam or greeting to the people. So when we give salam, we should be honest in what we're saying, and we should say it in a way that people will hear what we are saying. وَقَالَ Ibn Hajar rahimahullah, and Ibn Hajar rahimahullah says as well, with regards to spreading salam, right? The salam that is silent doesn't really do its purpose. It doesn't serve its purpose. And so it is a condition for us to be able to follow through with the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam when he says, afshu salam, to spread salam, spread salutations. The condition there is that the salutation should be said out loud, because saying it silently doesn't fulfill the purpose of the salam. And what is the purpose of the salam? The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, right, shall I tell you about something that will bring love between you? And before that, he says, you know, that none of you will enter into paradise until you believe, and none of you will believe until you love each other. Shall I tell you something that will bring love in between each of you, right, amongst you? He says, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, afshu salam bainakum. So Ibn Hajar rahimahullah, he says that the salam has to be said out loud, because you can't convey a greetings and salutations that's peaceful and nice to others if you're not going to say it out loud, that people will be able to hear it. And I want to talk about this for a second. You know, a lot of the time we mention this, where you meet someone that you don't know and you give salam to them. We're going to talk about that in a few minutes, inshallah, about giving salam to only the people we know, or should we give salam to everybody? this aspect of giving salam and seeing another Muslim is important, because not only does the Muslim feel safe and content and happy and pleased and honored that there's someone else who's a believer around them who doesn't feel shy to say salam, they also feel safe and protected to be able to practice their deen, and they feel more confident in themselves as well to do that. And so, you know, I give this example all the time. And you know, last night I was at, I went to the grocery store after Salat al-Isha. I just needed to pick up, what was I picking up? I was picking up some water for the volunteers. We were out of water, so I stopped there yesterday to pick up the water. And as I was coming out of the grocery store, there were some, you know, trolleys in front of me blocking the way. And there's an employee at Walmart, a Muslim sister, you know, she was there wearing her hijab and stuff, and she was moving the trolleys out of the way. And I waited, and when she was done, and I was able to pass through, I said, "Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh." And she looked at me like, oh, and then she said, "Wa alaikum assalam." You know, like, it's strange, and it shouldn't be strange. That's why I'm saying it shouldn't be strange. A Muslim should never feel, oh, someone's giving me salam in public, that's awkward, right? We should never feel as though it's an awkward thing. We should be comfortable to give salam and constantly be giving salam to others. That when we are in public, even if someone is an employee at a restaurant, at a store, at a grocery store, wherever it is, right? Anywhere, right? Any business, any place you go into, you see a Muslim, just say, Assalamu alaikum. And sometimes you don't want them to feel out of place or awkward, right? Or you don't know the person, so you don't know their situation as well. But if you see that they're a Muslim and you give them salam, alhamdulillah, you might say it in a way that only the Muslim hears you, right? Only the person you're giving salam hears you. And that's okay, that's fine. But say that salam, okay? Hold off on the questions. We'll take the questions at the end, inshallah, like we typically do, okay? Ibn Hajar rahimahullah also says, that a person may be able to give salam and say the beginning part out loud. Okay? Give salam and say the beginning part out loud. Like, salamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Right? So a person at least knows that you're giving salam. And it's that, like, I'm shy to say salam kind of thing, pushing the trolley, like, hey, salam. You know? Like that. Hey, salam. How's it going? You don't want to do that. What you want to do is you want to say salam properly. So, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Hey, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Right? At least you make it known that you're saying salam to the person. You know, some people will say, yeah, you know, I only get salam back maybe 5% of the time. That's like, yeah, that's true. Right? A lot of us don't really hear a response to our salam. And remember, it's the right of the believer to have their salam responded to. We took that, I think, last week or the week before, right? Okay. وَقَالَ النَّوِّي. So Imam al-Nawwi, rahimahullah, says, the least amount that a person should put into saying their salam to another person is that at least the Muslim who's around them hears their salam. So like I was saying before, right? You come up to the cash register, it's a Muslim brother or sister, and you say, salam alaikum, right? The other people in line didn't hear what you said, but you conveyed the salam to the believer. So at least, the very least, is that you say a salam that the believer can hear coming from you. And you don't need to be there. You know, like my good friend Omar Reagan, mashallah, whenever you go with him, it's like he announces, we're here. Alhamdulillah. And that's what I love about him. He has like this amazing personality that he's never shy, even though he is shy, but he's just never shy in the way that he conducts himself. Like he'll walk in and be like, hey, salamu alaikum. And I was just like, who's this guy? Subhanallah. So we should be happy of our deen. Of course, you know, you don't want to do anything that's strange, but be yourself, be real. And you know what? Convey the salam to others because it brings love in the hearts and people recognize that. I'll give you a simple example. I walked in to get my coffee before, right? And I left home, was on the way back to the masjid, stopped in, got the coffee, and dressed like this, you would think that, you know, sometimes people in stores are just like, look at this guy, or you just like come off a boat or something like that, even though I'm born and raised here, you know, dressing like this, walk into a store, sometimes people judge you and they feel like, okay, who is this guy? Like, he doesn't speak English or something. But I walk in and there's, you know, the person that's there who knows me, he's seen me a few times there at the coffee shop. And before I could even say hello, I step through the door and he's like, "Hey man, how's it going? Haven't seen you in a while." I was like, "Hey, what's going on? You know, how you been?" And the other employees, you could tell sometimes people are just like, "Oh, what's wrong with you? Who's this guy? Like, never seen this guy before." Even though they know me, they've seen me, right? Because that's how many times I go in to get a coffee. But, you know, subhanAllah, they just feel like, "Oh, this person's dressed differently, has a beard, wearing this weird hat on their head. Who is this guy? What are they?" And other people, they're just like, "Hey, how's it going, man? I haven't seen you in a long time." And so that personality that you have, and you convey yourself out, you know, very, very upfront with others and talk to them very nicely, you know, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala opens a lot of doors for us. I said questions at the end, but if my wife writes something, I have to read it, right? Sorry, guys. Yeah, that's one of the things. One of the things that's a little annoying is when you get to the cash and it's a Muslim, and it happens to me sometimes because a lot of people know me, right? Especially in the community. So you get to the cash register or you're walking through a store, you see someone and, you know, and sometimes it's force of habit, like, you know, don't judge people as well. So sometimes they're just so used to saying, "Hey, how's it going? How are you today?" You know, and they're not used to saying salam because maybe the majority of the people are not Muslim. So let's not judge, you know, people. But it's just weird sometimes when you're visibly, clearly dressed like, you know, in traditional clothing and, you know, people know you. Like sometimes people know me and I come up to the cash register and it might be because they're shy. So they just don't say anything. And they're like, "Assalamu alaikum, how are you, brother?" Or "Assalamu alaikum, how are you, sister?" And then they're just like, "Oh, Sheikh Dawood, how's everything? How are you?" You know, and it's like, "Well, you just said hi to me before. Why don't you say salam?" You know, and sometimes when people say hello, like you walk up and you see that it's a Muslim brother or sister there, and they say, "Hey, how's it going?" And just be like, "Salamu alaikum." And, "Oh, wa alaikum as-salam." You know, you have to be the person that will encourage others as well. Look, we're not here to judge. None of us are here to judge each other. What we are here for is to encourage each other. We're believers, and the believer sees the other believer as though they are themselves, right? It's like the believer is a mirror of another. And so when you see another believer or another believer sees you, know that each of you is representing each other. And so you want to encourage one another to do what's right and to do what's good and to motivate the ummah to do the best things and to be confident in themselves and to stand strong for what is right. Be believers in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And I'll share something with you at the end of today, inshallah. So remind me, I'll share two things with you, the coffee and the lesson, okay? The coffee and the lesson. So remind me at the end and I'll share that with you, inshallah, okay? Imam An-Nawawi rahimahullah, he also says that if someone gives you salam in a silent manner that you can't even hear them, you don't even know if they gave you salam, then it is not compulsory for you to respond to their salam because you don't even know if they gave you salam. You don't even know what they said. Okay, you don't even know if they said salam to you. If they're just like, you give them that face back, like, "What are you doing? What are you saying?" You know, and just be like, "Assalamu alaikum." "Oh, wa alaikum as-salam." You know, then it comes out. And so subhanAllah, sometimes just throw a little humor in there, right? Just be crazy and wild and like, you know, make people smile. Just make people smile. Alhamdulillah, that's good. All right, the next point that we're going to take, inshallah ta'ala, is that it is from the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to give salam to any believer generally and not to be specific in giving your salam to your friends only or people that you know. Okay. A man once came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and asked, "Ayyul Islami khair?" Which Islam is better? Okay. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam responded by saying, "Feed people food and say salam to those who you know and those who you don't know." Feed people food and say salam, greetings, salutations, to those who you know and those who you don't know. Now, how many times do you go into a restaurant? Here's a question. How many times do you go into a restaurant and you see a Muslim standing in line behind you and you place your order, or you see a Muslim standing in line in front of you and you place your order, or you wait for them to place their order, and when they're about to pay, you take your card out and you tap it before they can do it. You pay for that believer. Why? Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam tells us, feed people. Feed people. Right? And so one of the things that I was fed but didn't eat yet, I was just getting ready for, the live stream, and one of the brothers, subhanAllah, his wife came with him, and long story that I'm not going to talk about, and I think I know the secret behind it, but I'm not going to say it on the live stream. She brought this cake that she made, and it was not for me. It was actually something she wanted, her husband wanted to share with some of the other brothers who he knows. But because I was here, they gave me a piece. And so I got this awesome cake, and I said, I'm not going to try it before my halaqa because I'm going to have like chocolate stuck in between my teeth and it's not going to be pleasant for people that are watching, but I'll have it afterwards. And so he gave me that, and I was like, alhamdulillah, that's awesome. Then we got talking about, our daughters and how our daughters love baking, and my wife, did cake decorating and all this stuff. And, subhanAllah, it was just an amazing thing to talk about. And so feeding people brings love, right? Brings love amongst us. I know if I was to say, who wants this slice of cake? And I haven't touched it. If anyone wants it, who wants me to deliver it to their house after this halakha? I'll drive to your house and deliver it to you. I'm just an example, guys. It's not real, right? I'm going to eat the cake. Just giving you an example, right? Everyone would be like, yeah, bring it over, man. We'll have it. Yeah, bring it to me. Bring it to me. I want it. Because everyone's like happy and excited, right? Well, yeah, that's the point. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is showing that as believers, we need to make people around us feel happy. We need to make people feel content. We need to not please people in the things that they want, which is good to do as well, things that they need, but to please believers and non-believers as well in ways that they don't expect. In ways that they don't expect, right? And so that's absolutely important for us to try and learn, okay? So when we give salam to those who we know as well as those that we do not know. Also, the salam that is given specifically to the people that we know and not generally to others is a sign of the Day of Judgment. It's a sign of the coming of the Day of Judgment, okay? And I know a lot of us don't think of it that way, but it is. So we see in the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in Musnad of Imam Ahmad rahimahullah, that Ibn Mas'ud radiyallahu anhu said, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, or the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, said, verily, from the signs of the Day of Judgment, or the signs of the end of time, right? Min asharat as-sa'ah. إذا كانت التحية على المعرفة, that the salam, the salutations, the greeting of people is only done to those who you know. So from the signs of the end of time is that when people greet one another or give salutations or greetings or salam and say hi or whatever to each other, is that they only say it to the people that they know and not to anyone else. And as believers in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we should open our doors. Because how are we going to spread Islam? How are we going to convey this deen and spread this deen and invite others to this deen if we are only going to say salam or hello or good morning or good evening or good night or how are you to the people that we know? There has to be something that breaks the ice. There has to be something that begins conversation. And the believer should be someone who's on their toes, ready to have a conversation. Sadly, most of us as believers are not ready to have conversation. we feel like we need to be in our bubble, right? Or like one of the brothers said today, you know, he was passing by another brother who he's in his bubble, right? We all know what that is nowadays, right? It means you're in, that's your circle of, you know, 10 people or whatever that you're going to communicate with, or a couple of families that you're going to communicate with, and that's it. So he was walking away after Jummah, and he like, you know, sort of tapped or came and almost like hugged the other brother. I was like, oh, whoa, whoa, physical distancing, guys, 6 feet. And then the brother who was like, you know, who was on the receiving end, he goes, oh, it's okay, he's in my bubble. And the other brother goes, look at me, I am a bubble. He was just joking about it, right? But subhanAllah, you know, it just goes to show how as believers, we need to be, you know, able to open a conversation. We need to be able to speak to people and talk to people and, you know, communicate with one another in ways that sometimes make us feel uncomfortable, but we don't let it be known. As in, we figure out how to get through that conversation. Okay? The believer needs to be on their toes all the time. Also, with regards to the saying salam only to those we know as being a sign of the Day of Judgment or the sign of the end of times, also in another narration, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that a man gives salam to a man, and the salam will not be responded to, as in the response will not come to him except from the people that know him. So you give salam to someone else, but because they don't know you, they're not going to give you salam. And how many times does this happen? You walk by someone, right, and you say salamu alaikum, and they look at you like one of the sisters was just saying, right? Sister Jamie was just saying, maybe 5% of the time someone will respond to the salam, which means, hey, we got to be careful, right? So we need to say salam and wa alaikum as-salam more often. And in another narration, again, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned something very similar, that, you know, indicating the end of times will come when people give salam specifically to people that they know and not to people that they do not know. Okay, let's move to the next point, insha'Allah ta'ala. Istihbab, the permissibility of giving salam or beginning the salam to those that are around us, to those who we come across, right? So it is permissible and encouraged that we give salam to the people we enter upon. So if we are walking somewhere, or let's say, you know, there's a group of people and we come to them, or you're coming to a meeting and you come late and everyone is already there, or people already gathered and they're there, then the person who's arriving should be the one who conveys salam first. Okay, says salam to the group of people. The next point is from the sunnah. It is from the sunnah to say salam. Okay, how am I going to phrase this? I'm just trying to think of how to translate this in my head. So from the sunnah, the person who is riding, should say salam to the person who is walking. And the person who's walking should convey salam to the person who is sitting. And the person who is in a smaller group and comes across a larger group should say salam to the larger group. So the smaller group says salam to the larger group. And the younger one will begin the salam by saying it to the person who is older. So here now we're jumping into like real etiquettes, like who says salam to who first, who is expected to say the salam first, okay? So we see in the hadith of Abu Huraira radiallahu an, where he narrated that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, or the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, said, the person who is riding gives salam to the person who is walking, and the person who is walking give salam to the one who is sitting or put, not moving, right? And walqalilu ala al-kathir, and the small group will give salam to the larger group. So for example, there's, you know, halaqa going on in the masjid, or a gathering about to begin and everyone is sitting down, and two people come in or three people come in, or a family comes in together and they're about to sit down. They say salam to everyone that's already there. Okay, so from the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu says that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, if someone is riding and they come across someone who is walking, so you're going faster than them, or you're moving quicker, right? You're passing them, then you say salam to the people you're passing. And if you're walking and people are sitting, then as you're passing by them, you say salam to them, not the other way around. And that the smaller group will say salam to the larger group. And in another narration, another hadith, and this is found in Sahih al-Bukhari. The first one was agreed upon in Bukhari and Muslim. This one is actually in Sahih al-Bukhari, where the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that the sagir, the one who's younger, will give salam to the kabir, the one who is older. And the one who is moving will say salam to the one who is still or not moving. So the one who's walking will say salam to the one who is sitting. And the one who is in a smaller group, right? The smaller group will say salam to the larger group. Okay. So what do we learn here? We learn etiquettes, right? That first of all, someone who's young, our youth need to know that they have to be the ones to give salam to any elder that they see passing by them. Sometimes the elders are like busy and focusing, and you know, they have everything going on in their lives, and everything is super complicated and complex, and there's so many responsibilities. You know, the mind never stops. It's just always working. It's like computing. And the child or someone who's young is there, and they're just like, there's uncle so-and-so. Let me just wait until he comes over to me and gives me salam. No. Go up to the person, go towards that person, and be the first one to say salam. Okay, be the first one to say salam. And that is from the etiquettes of, you know, tarbiyah, right? It's basically tarbiyah, right? The morals with regards to molding ourselves and who we are. We need to know our position, that we don't wait for an elder to come and give us salam. We should be there first, because when you go and you offer yourself first, not only does the first person claim more of the reward, but the offer to help them is there. So you go and you greet them. And what it does is it makes them love you more. It makes them love you more. And you'll notice this, right? For us as adults, when a child comes to us and says salam, we feel good. But when we see other people's children and they just don't care about us, and you have to go to each one of them, hey, assalamu alaikum. Hey, assalamu alaikum. Assalamu alaikum. How are you? How are you guys doing? Hello, we're here. And they just don't care. You start to think to yourself, what kind of manners do these kids have, man? They don't even care about other people, right? They don't care about other human beings. They're just so busy with their own lives. They're self-centered. They don't care about others, right? And so it's part of our tarbiyah to learn who is supposed to give salam first, because every one of us will always be in these situations. You might be walking, passing someone who's sitting down. You're going for a walk in the park or down the street, and you see, you know, a family standing there, or someone sitting down on a bench, or someone just standing, right? Someone standing outside and they're waiting for someone else, and you're passing by them. You give salam to them. You don't wait and they're watching you in the distance, and when you come closer to them, you're still looking at them, and then they're like, assalamu alaikum. No, you see them for 5 seconds, assalamu alaikum, and you're coming closer to them, right? Alhamdulillah. And so these are things that we need to keep in mind, inshallah ta'ala, okay? Some of the scholars said, I think I mentioned this already. Okay, the youngsters, yes, I mentioned that. Okay, we'll move on. Okay, there's 1, 2, 3 masalas that we're going to take right now. Okay, 3 masalas. Masala. Right, 3 masail, as we say in plural in Arabic. So the first masala. And we're going to say, just kind of lively a little bit, right? First one is, what is the ruling with regards to the opposite of what we just learned? So what happens if the person who is older says salam to the person who is younger? What happens if the larger group gives salam to the smaller group? Okay. As an example, you'll have like a gathering about to happen and the imam walks in or the speaker walks in or the sheikha walks in, right? And she's going to speak to her class or speak to her students or speak to, you know, her congregation that's in front of her, right? The people that she's addressing. And, you know, he or she comes in. You don't have the people say salam first. Like when you walk in, it's not like salamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. And then the person says wa alaykum as-salam. No, it's usually the first, like that person who's alone or in the smaller group that will come in and give salam to the larger group, right? So what happens if the opposite happens though? What happens if someone who's older gives salam to the younger person? There is no issue there. There's no sin on anyone. But it is not from the etiquettes of the believer for that to take place. So there's nothing wrong with it, but it is better for the youngster to give salam to the elder, for the smaller group, to the larger group, and of course to follow what the Prophet ﷺ mentioned. But is it a sin? Is it something that a person is going to be sinning and receiving, you know, punishment for? No, the scholars say no, it is not something that is sinful. Masala number two. Okay, this one is the biryani masala. I'm just joking, guys. I am half Pakistani, so I am allowed to say some of these words, okay? Don't get all upset and be like he's, you know, offending us. No, I'm not offending you. I am just having some fun, okay? We're learning together. So the second masala, إذا تقابل ماشيان أو راكبان فمن يبدأ بالسلام. So if two people are walking, you're going for a walk and someone is walking the other way and you see them, right? Two people are walking and they meet each other or greet each other. Who says salam first? Okay. Or two people are driving and they see each other on the street. Who's going to say salam first? I know at the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, someone who was raqib, someone who's riding, is riding on a camel or a horse, right? Or maybe even a donkey. But at our time, you're riding in a Lamborghini and a Mercedes and a Bentley and a Ferrari and a... No, you're just riding in Toyotas and Hondas, right? And Ford and Chrysler and so on. So who's going to say salam first? Two people riding towards each other, two people walking towards each other. Who is going to say salam first? Two people riding a bicycle and they're passing by each other. Who says salam first? So the scholars look at this and try to figure out. And they say that the one who's younger should still say salam to the one who's older. So if you're riding or if you're walking and someone is walking towards you, then the one who's younger should say salam to the one who's older, even though they're both walking. Okay? So you look at the age, you look at who's younger. And so the younger one will say salam to the older one. Now, the scholars say, what if their ages are the same? Right? What if they're the same age and they're riding towards each other or they're walking towards each other and they're both the same age? Now what do you do? Okay? Who says salam first? They're both the same age. The scholars say that the one, the better of the two is the one who begins with the salam. Because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, وَخَيْرُهُمَا أَلَّذِي يَبْدَأْ بِالسَّلَامِ. And the better of the two is the one who starts with the salam. So the person who begins the salam or says salam first before having someone respond to them, that person is the one who is better. So if two people are walking towards each other, then be the first one to say salam, right? You meet someone, be the first one to say salam. Why? Because you are considered better than the other person. Why? Because you rushed for the rewards. You wanted to get those rewards. You wanted to be the first one. And the one who starts with the salam is the better of the two. Okay? And the third mas'ala that we will look at, insha'Allah ta'ala, or the third, what do you call mas'ala in English? I don't know. Just call it a mas'ala. The third, you know, ruling or scenario that we will look at, insha'Allah ta'ala, is if إذا كان هناك ماشيين. So there's two people that are walking. Okay? And as they're walking, let's see if I can do this. right? I don't know, I can't do it. So as they're walking, right, these two people are walking, a pole comes in between the two of them, or a tree comes in between the two of them. What are they going to do? Okay? Who gives salam? Should they give salam? Do they need to give salam or no salam? Or what's the ruling there? Okay? So two people are walking, and something comes between them, a tree, a wall, or something of that sort. Okay? They go through a doorway. What do they have to do? Should they give salam to each other another time or not? So Islamically, we see that we should give salam to that person once again, even if we pass on the other side of a tree. Why? Because this happened to the Sahaba radiallahu anhum, and they used to do it. Also, Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu says that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, sorry, وَذَلِكَ لَمَّا لِمَا رَوَاهُ أَبُو هُرَيْرَ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُ أَنَّهُ قَالَ أَبُو هُرَيْرَ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُ said, if two people, right, are walking, right, and they meet each other, then they give salam to each other. فَإِنْ حَالَتْ بَيْنَهُمَا شَجَرًا And if a tree comes in between the two of them, أَوْ جِدَار or a wall, then when they come back around the other side of it, they should give salam to each other. So what this is showing is, and I know some people will be like, why do we have to say salam again? We just finished saying salam to each other. It's kind of weird. But what it is we are seeking rewards from Allah and making dua for the other person. And you have to remember that traditionally, and even up until now, a lot of scholars or a lot of people, a lot of cultures actually, they are so frequent in dua for each other. You know, you'll meet someone, and especially in the Arab culture, they're constantly making dua. It's like you give some brother salam in the masjid after salah, and they make like 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 dua for you. And you're just like, mashallah, I don't know how to beat that, but I'll take it all. Jazakallahu khairan, right? Ameen wa iyakum. You know, it's just like, subhanAllah, they just feed you so many dua. And what I mean by that is like, they're just always filled with asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for khair to be placed or to be blessed upon those people or to be given to, you know, the person that they are meeting. So, just making a note that we're ending here, inshallah. So subhanAllah, you know, one of the things that the Sahaba radiallahu anhum would do is that they would make dua for each other constantly, and even if they went around a tree, they would give salam to each other once again. So we'll end there today, and we'll open it up for questions, inshallah. If anyone has any questions, please feel free to ask. You can write it in the comments section. If you already wrote a question somewhere above, just copy and paste it once again, because I am not going to go scrolling through all the comments and stuff. Okay, so feel free to ask your questions, inshallah. Shabaz, wa alaykum as-salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Ameen wa iyakum. Allah yajzik al-khayr. Hayyak Allah wa bayyak. Allah yaftah alayk. Nawwar Allahu qabrak. May Allah make it easy for you. So someone says, I had an uncle who would constantly give salam to us throughout the day, even though he was living with us. Subhanallah. That's amazing, right? This person, I don't know if they're a brother or sister because it says winter love 671234, so I'm not really sure who the person is, but you know, the fact that they had an uncle living with them and that uncle would constantly give salam to them in the house, and that's amazing, right? And this is something I try and do personally. My family knows it, right? And you come in, give salam. You get out of the car, you come in, you sit back in the car, give salam. You get out of the car to pump gas, you sit back in the car, assalamu alaikum, right? You give salam again, right? And it's something that we just have to get used to doing, inshallah. Do we say salam to each other again if they go to another room and come back? Yes, yes, why not? You're saying a dua for the person, right? They went to another room, they came back, assalamu alaikum, wa alaikum salam. Alhamdulillah. It's not hard. It's not easy. We say so many things to each other. Why can't we say salam? Okay, I see a question there. Let me try and get it, inshallah. Wake up in the morning, should we say salam to family? Absolutely, absolutely, absolutely. In fact, we say our dua, Alhamdulillah alladhi ahyana ba'dama amatana wa ilayhi an-nushur, la ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah, right? Say the shahada over and over. You know, give salam to your family, go see your family, salamu alaykum, right? Or, you know, it's time for Fajr, everyone's gathering for Fajr, they see, you know, each other gets together, salamu alaykum, right? Give salam to each other. So technically, if I come back in the room, I should say salam to the wife again. Yes, you should. So go right now, step out of the room, and come right back in and give salam, okay? Alhamdulillah. Any other questions? Okay, Abdullah Zahid from Colombo, South Africa. Allah yubarak fik. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless you and your family. Your dad reached out to me a couple of weeks ago in a message. Alhamdulillah, it was really, really nice to hear from him. So that's our topic for next week. Okay, next week we're going to be talking about whether we are permitted to give salam to someone of the opposite gender who's not mahram to us or not. Okay. And so, yes, in some cultures, you'll notice, I said Sri Lanka. Didn't I say Sri Lanka? I said Colombo. Colombo, Sri Lanka. Please forgive me if I didn't say Sri Lanka, but I was thinking Sri Lanka. Alhamdulillah. I hope I said that. So, yes, we're going to talk about that next week, inshallah. So now you have to come back next week, inshallah. Okay. Some of my friend gatherings. Friend gatherings during COVID? Astaghfirullah. Supposed to be isolating in your bubble. Some of my friend gatherings have both Muslim and non-Muslim friends, and I feel rude to address my Muslim friends alone with salam. Can I teach my non-Muslim friends about salam? You know what you should do, Manal? You should teach them about Islam. And one of the ways to teach them about Islam is to give salam to your Muslim friends when your non-Muslim friends are there. So they will ask, why do you only give salam to them and you don't give salam to us? Well, because this is the greeting of the believers. And this is what the believers say to each other. Hello to you. Good morning to you. How are you? Everything's cool and fine. But to my Muslims, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Okay. Is it permissible for them to say it back? Well, they can say it back. That's fine. There's nothing wrong with it. But we're going to look at the response of the salam from the non-believer next time, inshallah ta'ala. Okay. Did I say South Africa? I said Colombo, South Africa? Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. I don't know why I said that. But that must mean that South Africa is deep in my heart somewhere. But I meant Colombo, Sri Lanka. I don't know why I said South Africa. Subhanallah. It's weird. But how can I forget, man? Colombo. I had some of the best food. Some of the best flavors. I won't say food, but some of the best flavors. Combos of flavors, like combinations of flavors, some of the best flavor combinations ever that went on this palate, on this tongue of mine, was from Colombo, Sri Lanka. Absolutely amazing, subhanallah, how they use, and also tea, Allahu Akbar. I came back with Sheikh Mu'izz. He gave me as a gift, Sheikh Mu'izz Bukhari in Sri Lanka. He gave me a gift when I was leaving of tea, and it was like a signature collection, like a special edition collection of tea. And it was so good, I didn't want anyone to touch it. It was so good, I wanted to drink all of, there were six flavors in it, and I didn't let any, I was just, this is my tea, subhanAllah, alhamdulillah. Okay. All right, any other questions? Hani Shuko, apa khabar? MashaAllah, we have some Malaysians on here as well. Any other questions? None of you have any questions? You should have a question. You said, Daoud, you're supposed to say, Daoud, let us know about your coffee. But I'm not going to let you know about my coffee because you didn't ask me, so I'm not going to tell you now. What is meant by aqidah? Aqidah is belief. Okay, it's belief. And our purity in belief in the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Okay, so how would we respond to the argument that since a salam means we are making dua to the other person, dua for the other person, I should say, as in we care about that person, they're a believer, we want goodness for them, and so on, then why don't we say it to the non-Muslims, don't we care about them? We're going to talk about this next week. Okay, so the topic next week is giving salam to someone who is not mahram for us. Okay, or we are not mahram for them. Barakallahu feekum, Shaykhana, would be honored to host you again sometime soon, insha'Allahu ta'ala, insha'Allah. You know what, I think of the people of Sri Lanka, I can honestly say probably every single day, subhanAllah, you know, there's a lot of good people there. Okay, he's wearing a cap, sunnah. So, it is from the culture during the time of the Arabs to not just wear a cap. In fact, they used to wear a turban. They used to wear a turban on their heads, right? They used to wrap their head and protect their head from the heat of the sun. And so, it is from their culture, their tradition to wear something on their head and cover their head. Now, as time went on, many of the scholars, especially the scholars of hadith, you know, they would cover their heads, and it was considered, especially at a certain period of time, in a certain place as well, you know, for the scholars to not cover their head was like, this scholar's not taking the deen seriously. However, the scholars look at it and say, this is more a cultural thing. It's more of a cultural thing, right? That the head for the men is needed to be covered, okay? We see that, you know, when a person is wearing a topi or wearing a kufi or wearing a taqiya or wearing an ammama or wearing a shimagh or wearing a ghutra or wearing a cap or wearing whatever you want to call it, something on their head, you know, sometimes they have a little more, or they earn the respect of people around them. It's a sign of showing, it's like a symbol of our belief as well, that we can show to others. So it's something good to do if we do, but there's nothing wrong with it if we don't do it. And remember growing up, some of our elders, right? Not scholars, but elders, as in uncles and aunties in the community, they would tell us that if you don't wear a hat on your head when you are praying your salah, then your salah is not valid. It's not correct. You're supposed to wear your topi. In fact, I was sent home from the masjid once when I was in my 20s. I was in my 20s and I was sent home, not sent home, but I was being told to go home and to change my clothes if I wanted to come and pray in the masjid. And I was not wearing anything that was wrong. I was not wearing like tight clothes or clothes that reveals my aura at all. I just came from work and I was wearing pants and shirt and I didn't have a topi on my head. I think I was wearing a baseball cap that day. And I remember the uncles in the masjid telling me, go home, shame on you. Why are you coming to the masjid like this? And I was like, I'm coming to the masjid to pray. I'm not coming to the masjid for like some argument with you guys. And so subhanAllah, we need to be understanding of people's situations. And, you know, if I had gone home to change and come to the masjid, I would have missed the salah. And so, you know, it's just weird, some of the culture that has seeped into what people think is the deen. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make it easy for us to learn this deen. What are some of the main differences between the Hanafi and Shafi'i schools of fiqh? Wow, there are so many. It's like, that's a question you can't answer. There are so many differences there. And a lot of the time it's just in the interpretation of hadith. Based on time and place and so on. So for example, as I see you mentioning there, is shrimp, lobster, and crab haram? No, they're not haram. And in fact, even in the Hanafi fiqh, or Hanafi, according to the Hanafi scholars, they do not say that shrimp is haram either. They do not say that it is haram. They say that it is makruh, it's disliked. But they do not say that it is haram. Haram means if you eat it, you are sinned, and you're eating something that is completely forbidden for you. They don't say that it's haram. They actually say that it is makruh, that it's disliked to eat. So they don't prefer it to be eaten by the people, but that does not mean that it is haram. it is still halal, it is still permissible to eat. And so you see, when you study the deen and you learn the slight differences in them, in the different madahib or in some of the rulings that some of the scholars gave, you'll see that it's actually very beautiful. You know, when you don't know a lot of the deen, you start to put up this wall, like this is haram and that's haram and everything's haram. But when you learn more of the deen, you realize there's so much out there. It's so amazing. There's so much that we can learn. And you become more interested in it. You become more curious about the deen. And you want to know more. Okay. Atif Bhai, don't ask me pet questions. Don't ask me pet questions. Because I am not, my wife knows, she'll tell you, I'm not one who likes that people keep pets in their house. I think you can have a pet, but let your pet roam. Let your pet roam free, right? And if your pet wants to come in your house, then bismillah, allow it to come into your house. But let it go out of your house as well. Let a pet be free. For example, you might have a pet cat. And because you as the, or not you, but you know, because of the human wants to keep the cat in the house. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created that cat to go out and to mate. And now this miskeen or miskina cat is like suffering because we are locking them inside of the house. Same goes with other types of animals and pets. And so we should allow our pets to roam free and go out and not be like, oh, okay, now we need to have them neutered and have all these. No, don't ask me these questions. Let them go out. You want to have a pet? Let the pet come home. The coffee story? I don't know if I want to tell the coffee story. Coffee story is private. And no one really wants to know except my wife. So I'll just tell her when I get home, inshallah. Is eating egg makruh? Egg. Eggs. The first time I ever heard that eating eggs is makruh. I have to look into that. That would be interesting if some of the schools of jurisprudence say that egg is makruh. But to my knowledge, I just had two eggs this morning for breakfast, and pretty much everything we cook and bake, and it has eggs, not bacon, bake, you know, in the oven kind of thing. Is it a must to follow the four madahib? No, it isn't. In fact, it's a must to follow the Quran and the Sunnah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. However, these scholars, what they did is they taught their students, and their students sort of categorized their teachings or compiled, I should say, the teachings of their teachers. And so those teachers became so well known, and their knowledge was shared with others and so on, and it became known as like a way, a madhab. But the reality is, when we learn a hadith or we learn anything, and the scholars would say as well, if you look through their books or you look through their teachings, you'll find that they mentioned, if you find a hadith or you find something of stronger grading or something more authentic than what they said, or something makes more sense, or something of the deen that proves them wrong or is stronger in evidence than what they said, then follow that. Then follow that. What does that teach us? Follow the Quran and the Sunnah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now, is it wrong for a person to follow a particular madhab to use as a guide to, you know, along, as a guide throughout their journey in seeking knowledge? Is that permissible? Yes, it's permissible. Why? Because they're going to learn from a scholar who's teaching a particular madhab, you could say. But if they learn something of another madhab, or that teacher says, but in, you know, another hadith, or according to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in this incident and so on and so forth, he said to do this instead of doing that, then that is the best thing. So find a teacher who's going to teach you you know, the deen in a way that is easy for you to understand and practice. I know the bunny agrees. How can we let our pet roam free in Canada? Simple. Do you have a door on your house? You open the door and you let it go out. And if it comes back to you, alhamdulillah. And if it goes somewhere else, قدر الله ما شاء فعل. Look, you have to train the animals as well, and pets and so on. So like I said, it's a topic I really don't want to get into, okay? you know, if a pet really loves the people that are looking after it, the pet will always come back to it. Like the example of Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu. But if a pet doesn't like the owners or doesn't, and it's very dangerous actually to say owner, because I would use the word caretaker, right, or guardian, the one who is taking care of those animals, because it's a creation of Allah, right? It is better for those animals sometimes to just be free on their own. But of course, you can look after them and look after them. There's nothing wrong with looking after animals. Okay, I'm not really sure what you're referring to in terms of the 40 recitals in Salawat. Sheikh, you live stream the Friday khutbahs. Most people can't go to the mosque due to COVID. So do you live stream the khutbah so that people can follow it? And will it be the same as attending the masjid? So if you simply go to the previous live stream right here on Instagram, right here on this Instagram, and right here on Facebook and YouTube, you will find the live stream there from today's Jummah khutbah. I live stream every Friday and have been live streaming every Friday since the pandemic began. So you'll find the live streams there. And is it sufficient for someone to watch the khutbah at home and pray Jumu'ah? No. Okay. If you're praying in the masjid in the congregation, Bismillah. You know, you're praying Jumu'ah in the congregation, that's fine. If you are at home and you're watching the live stream, you're watching it for the purpose of learning, and you still need to pray Dhuhr Salah. Okay. You will pray 4 raka'ah of Dhuhr. Okay. Our guard dogs are outside. Last week, one was sick, so we brought them in the garage. That's fine. That's fine, Atif. That's perfectly fine, okay? In fact, you know what? One of the things that we learn from the chapters on, you know, animals and dogs and keeping dogs and stuff like that, the permissibility of it, is the fact that dogs are kept for a purpose in Islam, but they're kept in a way that's more natural, that they get to be outside and roam. Okay, they get to be outside and roam, and they don't come and live inside of our homes with us. Okay, but there's a space maybe within the home or on the property that is specific for them to get warmth and to sleep and to feel safe and secure and protected and so on and so forth. Okay. Any more questions? Zali, today is Jummah. It is Friday here. Okay. We are not in Malaysia. Alhamdulillah. So someone says, sorry, follow-up question to the one I asked last week. Okay, what is that? What's that follow-up question? Is it permitted to pray another congregation when the imam has already completed the congregational prayer? Okay. Yes, so you can join in with someone else, and the fact that you can join in with someone, let's say someone came late and, you know, they stand up to pray and you can join in with them in the prayer, therefore you are starting another congregation. Okay, so yes, it is permissible to do that. However, is it permitted to have multiple congregations in one place as a regular thing? No. So it shouldn't be that, okay, there's one imam who leads one salah and another imam who leads the same salah afterwards. Or, you know, one imam is going to lead for one group of people, another imam is going to lead for another group of people, or the same imam will lead for this. No. That's something we shouldn't do. But if someone came late and they're joining, or someone came with the intention of joining the congregation and they missed the congregation, and they're with a few people and they make another congregation, that's fine. Right? There are certain things with regards to it that we, you know, could talk about, but we'll leave that for another day. I was asking, is it allowed to file for a legal divorce in Canada during the iddah period if my husband has decided not to do the iddah together? Okay, I would like to ask a few questions about this, but generally, if I'm just able to understand from what you're saying here, I was asking, is it allowed to file for legal divorce in Canada during the iddah period? So, to file for it is different, I would say, than to actually receive a divorce. Okay, so we'll have to look into this a little bit more. And I want some more details as to this, so if you can, just message me privately, inshallah. Okay. No questions? Good. So I'll tell you about the coffee. So the coffee came to the masjid and the brothers were like, why do you have such a large coffee? Why is it so big? And it's because I turned 40 today and I got this for free. Alhamdulillah. And what I was going to tell you is the lesson. So the coffee and the lesson. The lesson is, what is the greatest gift or the best gift that you would ever ask for, right? What's the best gift that any, like if someone was to say, mashallah, today is a special day for you, so you got this great gift. In fact, I didn't even get, so disclaimer just for my wife, this is a grande, but I asked them to put it in a venti cup because they put whipped cream on it and I didn't want them to put it in a smaller cup with whipped cream. That mean I would get less coffee and most of it would be whipped cream. So I asked them, I said, put the same amount, put the large, actually the medium, right, in the large cup and then put whipped cream on top. So I still get the same amount. See, I am, you know, a little cheap on the inside sometimes, right? So I still got the same amount of coffee, but in the larger cup with more whipped cream on top because it's free. Okay, so the lesson that I was going to share is, honey, ka, honey. Now I can call you ka, right? Ka, ka, mashallah. So, honey is on Facebook. Oh yeah, nice try. Trying to score some brownie points there. So the lesson I was going to share is, and I was actually going to type this out afterwards, maybe on Facebook or something, is the greatest gift or the most awesome gift. You know, you think of it sometimes, and I love watches, be like an awesome watch or an awesome phone or a new laptop or tablet or something of that sort. You know, a brand new car. A Model 3 Tesla, you know, like, I'll accept that if anyone wants to, you know, gift it to me. Jazakallahu khairan. I will gladly accept it. I'll pay the insurance on it. You pay for the car itself. And I'm serious about that. If anyone wants to gift me a Model 3, bismillah. but the most awesome gift is La ilaha illallah. Because when you think of it, you can have anything in this dunya. But when you leave it behind. And for me, turning 40 today is an eye-opener and a reminder of the fact that I've reached this point. And I remember when I was a kid, I never thought that I would reach the age of 20. And when I reached 20, I was like, subhanAllah, I already reached 20. I don't even want to reach 30. And then I reached 30, and now I just left my 30s. Now I'm 40. And you think to yourself, subhanAllah, life is going by so fast. Alhamdulillah, we have La ilaha illallah. That's the lesson. Alhamdulillah, we have La ilaha illallah. The best gift ever. The best gift ever. La ilaha illallah. Alhamdulillah. My wife's sitting there like banging her head like, what's wrong with this guy? He's asking for a Tesla Model 3. Yeah, Tesla Model 3. I wouldn't want any other Tesla. Unless it's the truck, which they're still trying to figure out what the design is going to be, and that's going to be a few years. Model 3 is awesome, fits my family in it. It's more than enough. It's exactly what we need. And for those of you who don't know Tesla, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guide you to understanding technology in the future and the future of the automotive industry, inshallah. Jazakumullahu khairan for attending today. Barakallahu feekum. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless you and your families. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala open your hearts to this deen and open my heart and our hearts to this deen. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala keep us together for more than another 40 years, inshallah ta'ala. Ameen. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bless us with the best of this world and the best of the hereafter and the highest levels of paradise, al-firdaus al-a'la. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala keep us united as an ummah, loving one another for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and solely for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah yajzik al-khair, Allah yubarak fiik, Allah yaftah alaykum. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shower his mercy upon all of you and your family and your children and your parents and guide them to Islam if they are if they are misguided, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala open our hearts and keep us strong in Iman and Islam always. جزاكم الله خيرا والسلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه.